Today on Brave, Jeff Schwarzentraub addresses a difficult choice.
It's hard sometimes to choose the right thing when you know you're going to suffer rather than just give in and do something that goes against your conscience, right? Especially in the Christian life. What's it look like to choose suffering over sin?
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. The path of least resistance may be a popular road, but it certainly isn't the road to God. Living out the Christian faith takes strength, resilience, and a willingness to suffer for what's right. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff presents an inspiring biblical lesson on how to overcome pain and stand by your faith as we continue our current series in the book of 1 Peter called Christians in Crisis. And if you want to listen again to any of these daily messages, or perhaps share them with a friend, visit bravemedia.online. Now, here's Pastor Jeff with his Bible open to 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 1, for a message entitled, Choosing Suffering Over Sin.
So as God is writing to us through his servant Peter today, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he's telling us that choosing suffering requires three different elements. And the first is this, that choosing suffering over sin requires armoring up with the attitude of Christ. He says, therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh. Therefore, he says, since Jesus Christ suffered in the flesh, he says this, arm yourself also with the same purpose. That word arm there is a military term that means to dress yourself up in military attire. It's arming yourself with the same purpose or with the same attitude. It means Jesus willingly chose to be obedient to his Father, which he knew was going to cause his suffering. The second way that we choose suffering over sin, it requires this. It requires this urgency to pray and to love one another. Notice verse 7. He starts off by saying, the end of all things is near. That simply means this. The world that we live in and the system that we live in and the homes that you live in and the cars that you drive and the relationships that you have, it's all coming to an end. And it's coming soon. How soon? I don't know. The Bible says he's coming soon. I mean, there's a nearness. If Jesus comes back in my lifetime, I will not be surprised whatsoever. I mean, come, Lord Jesus. May he come. I'd love it if he came. If he tarries 500 more years, he can do whatever he wants. But I know this. He's coming soon. The end of all things is near, which tells me this. There's an urgency in this. Today. Like now, I mean, the need for the gospel is that great and the need for your soul to be cleansed is that great. It's near. Therefore, what does he say? Be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. It means to be self-controlled and clear-headed for the purpose of prayer. Now, here's what you might think. The end is near. The end is near. Like, go tell everybody about Jesus. The end is near. I mean, do you not realize the end is near? Go evangelize. The end is near. Here's what he said, the end is near, so be sober-minded, be clear-headed, be self-controlled, and so you can pray. I mean, it's hard to pray because the enemy knows that he wants to distract you because he knows. He ain't afraid of your witness, but here's what he's afraid of. He's afraid of Jesus Christ living his life in and through you in a very full way. He knows that if you're praying, he knows that if we're praying, that he has the ability to do things in and through us that are supernatural. So what are we called to do? We're called to pray. What did Jesus spend a lot of his earthly ministry doing? He prayed. He's Jesus. And yet he felt compelled to pray and be with his dad all the time. After miracles, before selecting disciples, up all night. What was he doing? Praying. Why? Because there's spiritual power in prayer. What are we called to do this for? Hey, here's where the battle takes place. It takes place in your prayer life. And I'm not asking you by show of hands because I don't want to embarrass anybody. I'm not trying to, but just ask yourself the question, how long did you pray this morning before you came to church? Like if I were to ask how many got up 2 hours early just to pray for 2 hours because you wanted to make sure that when you heard God this morning from his living and active word, that you'd be ready to put it into practice and you'd want other people to get saved and you'd want other people to grow in their faith. I mean, 2 hours. I mean, when Jesus was with his disciples, I mean, can you imagine this? Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is being betrayed. He's getting ready to go to the cross. He's got 11 men with him. He invites them to do what? Come pray with me. right? Just pray with me. Now, knowing what we know now, wouldn't that be an interesting event to be a part of? Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross and he invites 11 of us and say, hey, come pray with me. Would you go pray with Jesus? What did his disciples do? They fell asleep. Jesus' question to them three times, he comes back, could you not even stay awake for an hour? I mean, Jesus' posed question is like an hour is not like a long time to pray. For most of us, 3 minutes is a long time to pray.
Ouch.
For most of us, it is. And it's a developed discipline. So I'm not telling you, and you can't do this. Don't make a commitment, say, starting Monday morning, I'm getting up a half an hour early and I'm going to pray for half an hour. You will not be able to do that. That would be like waking up tomorrow and saying, I'm going to bench press 400 pounds tomorrow. I'm going to start. I can't do that, okay? You guys are looking at me like, can he do it? No. So we're called to be sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. And then he says, above all, what are we to do? Not only to pray, but keep fervent. That means eager or urgent in your love for one another, because love covers over a multitude of sins. That means be eager to love other people. Be eager to demonstrate love to people that are unlovable. That's what it means. Why? Because love covers over a multitude of sins, right? Love always covers over a multitude of sins. What's that mean? Well, when Jesus died on the cross, obviously he covered more than a multitude. He covered all our sins. He's not talking about Jesus. He's talking about how we cover sins for each other. The way we cover sins for each other is we don't have to bring everything up. It means we show love rather than reproof every single time we're around somebody. I mean, you know, when you got married, I mean, you knew you married a sinner, but after you got married, you knew what the sins were, didn't you? Right? And then you got married, and what's love do? Love covers over a multitude of sins, because if you spent your entire marriage pointing out all the flaws of your spouse, it will not work. It'll upset your spouse and frustrate you to death. Love covers over a multitude of sins. Love is able to say, you know what, I don't need to bring this up, and I love you in spite of, and you're awesome, and God can come in and give grace to that, right? It means we show love to each other in that radical kind of way. We're called to do that in the church specifically. We're called to do that to people outside, where people see a demonstrable evidence of our love for God by the way in which we treat them. So we're to pray, we're to love, and then the third one is this. What are we to do? Be hospitable to one another without complaint. Hospitality is really friendliness to strangers. It's kind of a welcoming idea. It can be welcoming them in your home, but more importantly, it's really welcoming them in your life. Like, you could be at the gas pump and show hospitality to someone when you're welcoming them into your life. It means you're living on mission to welcome strangers. It means people can be a part of who you are. You're not untouchable. You're not in your own realm. You're not just living your life. You're hospitable. It means I want to show you love. I want to get to know you. And if you got time, I got time for you. And you can be part of what's going on here, because there's nothing special about this guy other than Jesus. There's nothing special about this gal other than Jesus. That's showing hospitality. And the Bible makes clear that sometimes when we show hospitality in the book of Hebrews, we may have even entertained angels unaware, right? I mean, we're showing hospitality to people in a way that represents, when we're standing before them and with them, if Jesus were in and through me, which he is as a believer, this is exactly what he'd do. This is exactly how he'd spend his time. This is exactly the way in which he would demonstrate love. So what are we called to do? I mean, they don't seem like really earth-shattering things, but for us, they're the most important. Prayer, love, and hospitality. Jesus said, hey, this is the command I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this all men will know that you're my disciples. Did Jesus show hospitality? Everywhere he went. He didn't even have a house. He didn't even have a place to lay his head. And he demonstrated hospitality to everyone he met. Choosing suffering over sin requires that we armor up with the attitude of Christ, that we have an urgency to pray and a love for one another. And then finally is this. Choosing suffering over sin requires a stewarding of God's investment in you for his glory. A stewarding of God's investment in you for his glory. You're going to see the word stewarding in the text. Steward simply means this. I'm managing that which was given to me. I don't own it. I'm not the owner of it. I'm managing that which was given to me. And he says this. Look at your Bibles. Look at this. You got to see this for yourself. As each one has received a special gift. Okay? Who's that? Who's that?
The Holy Spirit.
That's me and you. Each one. means every single person who has trusted in Jesus Christ has received a special gift. Now, obviously, at the moment of conversion, we've received the Holy Spirit on the inside, and the Holy Spirit gets to decide how he dispenses gifts to the body of Christ. He dispenses gifts. He gives gifts the way he wants. And you're gonna see what the purpose of gifts is. The purpose of gifts is not to look around and say, why did I get this one? How come I didn't get his? How come I didn't get hers? The purpose of gifts is not about comparison, and the purpose of gifts is not about you. God did not gift you for you. God gifted you for him. He's entrusted you with something, which means this. If you're a believer in Christ, at the moment you were converted, God's love was around you up until the time you were converted. He's loved you with an unconditional love. When you came into the family of God, he gifted you and gave you a special gift. Everybody in the body of Christ has at least one gift, maybe multiple ones, right? And here's the reality. You've all been given this gift, and what's he say? Employ it in serving one another as good stewards. There's that word, stewards, of what? The manifold grace of God. Manifold means many. It means variety. It means God gifts people uniquely. Yeah, there are certain gifts that everybody has the same. You know, you may have the gift of teacher. Some people have the gift of teacher, teach like this. Some people have the gift of teacher, teach like this. Some people have the gift of teacher, teach. Just because you've been given a gift, there's a myriad of ways that God uses the gift. Some people have the gift of teaching or up front like I am. Some people have the gift of teaching, do it one-on-one. Some people have the gift of teaching, do it in a small group. Some can do it with kids miraculously. When I grew up and was 4 years old, I remember I had a four-year-old nursery school teacher. Unbelievable. She's in her 80s to this day. She was awesome. And I remember watching her as I got older and was in high school, and she could have like 44-year-olds just follow her in a single file line, sit on this invisible magic square with their hands folded and their legs crossed as if it was not a big deal. And then I got asked to lead VBS in the first church I was in for like 5 4-year-olds that I had. And like, can you take them outside and play kickball? I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, easy. I'll have them sit on the magic square and then we'll just play kickball. Magic square, my foot. I mean, they opened the door and the kids ran everywhere. Nobody was doing it. And I realized what a gift that was that she had. Not everybody has that gift. Does that make sense? And so God has not only gifted you with spiritual gifts, but he's done it in a unique way that only you can do the gift and bring the gift for the purpose of doing what? What's the purpose of the gift? To serve others. To serve others. Now you're gonna see that the final goal of that gift is bringing glory to God, but what's the purpose of the gift? It's to serve others. God gave you a gift for the purpose of serving other people. It's not self-serving. Now, why is this important? Because you can read every self-help book. I think I've read most of them. I read them all when I was in college. Now there's new ones. But, you know, all these things, how to find the right job and how to find the right this and how to think and grow rich and how to do all this and how to do all this and how to do all this. And then I learn how to use my gifts for who? For me, right? When I graduated from Dallas Seminary, I was really trying to ask the Lord, like, what would you have me do? And how's this thing gonna work out? And after I went through this church planning residency, it didn't work out and I was confused. And I was saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? And prior to becoming an evangelist, I was asking, I'll do anything. I'll coach football, I'll go speak in the marketplace. And I had an opportunity to go speak in the marketplace. And they asked me, how much do you charge? And I didn't know. I said, I'll get back to you on that. So I called my mentor. I'm like, what do I tell them? He was like, well, how long do they want you to speak? And I said, I think like a half an hour to an hour. He's like, just tell them $1,000. And he goes, they won't even blink. I'm like, $1,000 just for like speaking an hour? He's like, it's nothing, trust me. They won't even. So I called him back, said, yeah, I'll do $1,000. And do you know hotel stay? I'm like, yeah. And they paid for all my food. They gave me $1,000. I went and spoke at this thing. They told me when I got done, they're like, man, you're so undercharged yourself. We're gonna send you another check for like $4,000 because we feel bad for robbing you. So I called my friend, I'm like, they paid me $5,000 an hour. He's like, that's nothing. He goes, if you do this, he goes, you'll have way more than that. So I was like, I can live off that, right? So maybe I'll do this. And I remember praying about it. Like, Lord, I'll do this because I got to meet a lot of non-Christians in the marketplace and I can share my faith and do all this stuff. But as I continued to pray to the Lord, he made it crystal clear to me. I called you to preach the word, not just help people grow, but I called you to preach my word, right? That's why I got tattooed on my arm. That's what he called me to do, right? And so I remember I went back to this final meeting where I was gonna sign a little contract and start doing that stuff in the marketplace. And I met with them. They're like, are you ready to go? And I said, yeah, but before I sign, let me just tell you what we're gonna do. I'm not doing that. I'm gonna go preach the word. I'm gonna do evangelism ministry and I want you to be on my board. And he goes, like, where are you gonna get the money? And I'm like, we don't have any, but let's go do that. And that's how the meeting shifted, right? Because in my heart, I knew that deep down in my heart, there's nothing wrong with doing business and professional speaking, but in my heart, I was only doing it for money. And I was just kind of saying, I can do it that way. And here's what I'll do for you, God. And let me show you how the plan's gonna work, and it's gonna be awesome. You ever done that with God? Where you take your gifts and you show him how you can use it and how it's gonna work. It's so much better when you just do this. It's not my life, it's yours. You must increase, I must decrease. What do you wanna do? I'll do whatever you want. And then God has a way of saying, here's what it is, and here's what you can do. And I can tell you this, I don't miss any of that part at all. I love what I get to do. And this is why he says in verse 11, he says, whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. So here we don't have an exhaustive list of spiritual gifts, but he really sums them all up. Here's what he talks about. Whether you're speaking or serving, do it all to the glory of God. Amen? So if your gifts involve more speaking, or you're in a situation one-on-one where God's working through you to say something to somebody else, either an encouraging word or a difficult word, speak as if you're speaking the very utterances of God. And if you're serving, serve in such a way where the manifest power of God comes through you, where people don't see your service, or you're not serving so you get noticed, or you get a title, or you get a degree, or you rise up the ranks, or you're doing it so that people see Jesus in you, right? So whether you speak or whether you serve, do it all for him. And this gives us the final why. So that in all things, whether you're speaking or serving, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of his Father. He is coming back soon. He will be here soon to be glorified from everyone and everything in all creation on the earth. May he be glorified in our life now, because to him deserves the highest praise. So here's a question, and this is a really hard question. I'm just gonna be honest with you. It's one you're gonna have to wrestle with, and you're gonna ask God to give you the grace to do this. But here's the question. Hey God, do you have everything in my entire life? Is my life completely submitted to you? Or Lord, is there any area in my life that's not submitted that you want me to submit to you? Because this day I want to do that for you, right? Now, it's a real easy thing to mouth. It's a real hard thing to mean. Because when you start thinking about it, if you're like any other Christian that's ever walked the planet like me, you start realizing, yeah, but if you take me that way, that's not the way I wanted to go. If you take me that way, that's not the path I had planned for my life. That's not what I wanted to do. That's not what I wanted to be when I grew up. I mean, Kim and I were having a conversation, my wife and I, just the other week, and we were talking about like where we are in life and what we thought about people like us when we were growing up. Like, and I remember thinking of what conservative pastors were like, okay? And I was like, dude, those people are weird. Like, I didn't go to a Bible preaching church, but those people are so conservative. They're so narrow-minded. And then homeschool families. I mean, have you ever met some of these parents, right? Right. Now we homeschool. Now I'm a conservative pastor. And every single time that I continue to be in the Word, like, I've become everything that I used to make fun of when I was growing up. Like, if 30 years ago somebody would have told me, you're going to be a pastor and homeschool your kids, I would have said, give me death, like, right now. Right? Like, I want nothing to do with that. Let me tell you, I love what I get to do. And I love what we get to do with our kids. I mean, I'm committed to those things because that's how God's led our family. It's what he's leading to us. And that's what I'm telling you. Everything I had planned in my life and everything in my head that was on my imaginary bulletin board that I was going to become, all those things have kind of burned up to the surpassing knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I'm so grateful. And I love him more and more every single day, which doesn't mean this. It doesn't mean if you give your life to Christ, you're gonna become a pastor. It means if you give your life to Christ, he will take you on a journey that's unimaginable in ways that you might not have gone, and you will be the most fulfilled and you will have the greatest impact, so that when he returns, you will hear these words, well done, good and faithful servant. Here's what I entrusted to you. Not only did I give you these gifts, but I gave them uniquely to you with your personality and your gifting. I gave you the parents. I gave you the hardships. I gave you the joys. I gave you all that as curriculum for you to steward what I gave you for my glory. Thank you so much for doing it my way through you. I love being creative and doing that. That's the joy. And when we choose that over a life of sin, there's great joy in our life. Because for many Christians, and I'll end by telling you this, for many Christians, they never get beyond the early stages of their Christian walk, which is nothing more than this. Can I do that and still be a Christian? Can I do that and still be a Christian? Will God still forgive me if I do that? Will God still forgive me if I do that? Let me answer that for you. He'll still forgive you no matter what. It's not a matter of living, is this sin, is this not sin? It's a matter of, am I completely submitted to Jesus and letting him take my life and use my life for his purposes? And yeah, I'll make mistakes along the way. Yeah, I'll stumble and fall, but at least I'm falling forward and I'm going the way Jesus wants me to go. And when you choose that path, sin kind of starts falling away. You start ceasing from it, right? The grievous sins I used to sin, I don't sit around my house and ask myself, do I want to go live that way tonight? I don't want that lie. I hate it. I despise what I used to be. I love who I'm becoming. And here's the truth about what we're talking about. It's a journey, amen? It's a journey. The immediacy is saying, you have my life. The journey is, as we continue journeying with him day by day, we realize how much more of our life he really wants, amen? And no matter where you are today, I got great news for you. When you confess your sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive your sins and he'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Amen. There's no one here today that God would say, nope, you've sinned too much and you've sinned way too much back there and you've sinned a little bit here. You're gonna need to work that off. No. The blood of Jesus Christ covers everything. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, you can simply confess him as your personal Lord and Savior right here in this moment. And if you have trusted in Jesus Christ, maybe the prayer for us today will be, Lord, do you have all of me? And Lord, if there's anywhere you don't, I'm giving that to you right now. Would you stand with me as we close today? So Lord, we come before you right now, and Lord, we ask in this moment that you would do a work. If you're here today and say, I don't even have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Here's how you can pray. Jesus, I believe that you're the God of the universe, that you died on the cross for my sins, that you were buried, but that you rose from the dead in victory. And right now in this place, I repent of my sin and I confess you as my Lord and Savior. I want you, Jesus. And Lord, for the rest of us here that are believers, here's what we're praying. Lord, by the help of your Holy Spirit, Lord, would you just reveal to us if there's any place in our life that you don't have a hold of that you'd like to have this morning? As you hear his voice this morning, would you just mouth back to him, Lord, I confess my sin. I repent of that in my life. Please take that from me and lead my life in this area for your glory. Lord, you have all of me. My finances, my career, my direction, my hopes, my dreams, I put them all in your hands. Even my most grievous sin, they're yours. And Lord Jesus, we give you all the praise and glory for who you are in your mighty and matchless name. Amen and amen. Can we give God praise this morning?
You're listening to Brave with Pastor Jeff Schwarzentraub and the final part of a message titled Choosing Suffering Over Sin. Today's lesson comes from our current study in the book of 1 Peter called Christians in Crisis. And if you need to catch up on previous lessons in this series, you can do that at bravemedia.online. And for those of you who regularly join us for these Brave Bible lessons, thank you so much. We'd like to invite you to partner with us in spreading the gospel to new communities. By making a contribution of any amount, you can support the Brave goal of saving, nurturing, and multiplying followers of Jesus Christ by fearlessly sharing the message of God's Word. We're grateful for believers just like you willing to give what they can to help us continue producing and broadcasting these daily Bible lessons. To make a gift today, visit bravemedia.online and click the Donate tab or call us at 360-552-7283. Again, that number is 360-552-7283. Our mailing address is Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. Again, you can send a check in the mail to Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. And if you live in the Denver metro area and you're looking for a church with bold preaching, passionate worship, and authentic community, Brave Church is just the place for you. We invite you to join us in person for services this weekend and to get connected with the body of believers who love Jesus. We have two campuses, one in Englewood, another in Westminster. But regardless of where you're listening from, you can always join us online through our live stream. For details, head to bravemedia.online. And at the bottom of our homepage, click the Brave Church button. And if you have questions or comments to share with Pastor Jeff, maybe a testimony of how this program has blessed you, reach out today by email, hello@bravechurch.co. We're so happy you've joined us today. I'm Bill Carl. Join us next time as we continue the series, Christians in Crisis. That'll be right here on Brave with Pastor Jeff Swarzentraw. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.